July 31st, 2015. Let's rock this. Let's do it. It's the Drupalize Me podcast.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
I'm
your hostess, Amber Matz.
And your host, Kyle Hoffmeyer.
Addison Berry, I am your hostess.
Guess what time it is? It's time for another Drupalize Me podcast. All right, everybody, thank you again for joining me on another Drupalize Me podcast. This one, we're gonna do something cool and special here. We're actually gonna talk about the new lullabot.com that has launched. We had a little bit of a soft launch, but we're now starting to let everybody know about it. And we're gonna talk about it because I think the new lullabot.com it's definitely a different way than Lullabot has usually done its websites, let alone with clients, but its own website. So I brought on some of the people that are part of the team that made it happen to discuss exactly what they did, because when I look at the website, I can't even tell if this thing is running Drupal, which would be very crazy if Lullabot was not running a Drupal website for their own personal site. So I thought I would just get a lot of the Lullabots that helped put this together on this podcast. And so I've got, along with me, I've got Jared.
Hey there, I'm Jared Ponchat. I'm the creative director at Lullabot. So I care about whether things are beautiful and nice to use and do what people want them to.
Cool. Thanks for joining, Jared. I also have Sally.
Hey, I'm Sally Young. I'm a senior developer at Lullabot, which means I try and make the things that Jared dreams up work.
Thanks, Sally.
Very cool.
You're welcome.
I also have Wes.
Hi, I'm Wes Rubalcaba. I am a front-end developer at Lullabot. And I did not make this happen. I'm just working on it after it happened, which has been very interesting.
And along with us is Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris Bowman, a senior front-end developer at Lullabot. I sort of made things happen before Wes, and then Wes took over. And I'm from Prince Edward Island, Canada, home of the, potatoes?
And Prince Edward, I would presume.
Is that a sports ball team?
Yes.
And we also have Betty.
Hi, I'm Betty Tran. I'm a developer at Lullabot. I was fortunate enough to be there for the beginning of the project. And it's been a really fun ride.
Very cool. I thank you guys for taking the time to join me and to kind of let everybody know some of the cool stuff that you guys did on this. I know the project actually didn't just happen overnight. You guys have been doing some crazy stuff. I mean, just through the inner channels here at Lullabot, I've heard terms of couch and headless and coupled, decoupled and everything. And to me, the website's just running on magic unicorns. So I thought I'd give everyone a chance to hear exactly kind of what you guys did and what is making the magic happen. I'm going to throw out a question and I'm going to make Sally answer it just to start us off. Because my first question I have on here is, does this site even run Drupal?
So the Australians have an amazing phrase which goes, yeah, nah, yeah. So yes, but no, but yes. The editorial side of things all runs on Drupal. It's quite slim because we're not doing any kind of presentation layer stuff on there. So there's no views, no panels, things like that. So when we go to write our content, that all goes in there. And then when we've written it all, it will push it out to CouchDB, which sits in the middle of our backend and our frontend. So when you actually view the site, you're not touching Drupal at all.
So the front is not Drupal, but the back is Drupal.
Exactly.
Okay. What is the front end of the website then?
So the front end of the website is built mostly with React JS. And of course, a bunch of other front end things we've thrown in there. So it's quite a liberating way of building the front end. It's like you just open up a text editor and you start making websites like you used to back in 1996 without having to, do a bunch of complicated stuff on the back end and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun.
96, there was a back end. I just had like 5,000 HTML pages.
No, that's the thing. You just open a text editor and you start writing, which is kind of more how the front end is built now.
And this is what people are calling decoupling Drupal. Is that true to say?
Yes, that's so. This is fully decoupled, the site. So you hit lullabot.com. React.js will generate everything for you, and it will actually go to CouchDB to fetch its data. So it doesn't even go to Drupal. CouchDB spits out JSON documents, basically, which is a way of compressing objects into JavaScript. And then it will display everything for you. And meanwhile, if we go and edit things on Drupal, it will push those back into CouchDB. So if Drupal happens to go down, the whole website isn't going to go down.
And what was the main reason we decided to do this? Why did we choose to decouple our website?
Initially, because we just kind of wanted to. We thought it'd be fun. We've been talking about doing a fully decoupled site for quite a long time. And we have done several client projects where it's sort of been partially decoupled in certain places, but not all the way. So that was one reason. Another reason is that there are a lot of pages on the new site. So our case studies are a great example of where we would building very fanciful things that wouldn't necessarily fit into a content type very well on the back end. So we didn't want to end up in the situation where you had like these crazy nodes that had like a ton of body fields that we tried to map to all kinds of different templates, or, you know, just chucking HTML in the back end where we felt like it. So that was a really good solution for building those pages out.
Cool. So before we start diving deeper into some of that type of stuff, I kind of want to start from a higher point of view. You decided to decouple. How did this affect like the flow of things, especially for you, Jared, when it came to design? Did it make anything different from that perspective?
Yes and no. I mean, I think part of what Sally may have been saying is that the reason we decoupled is because designers needed to do some things that, like many technical crazy things, like it all sort of trails back to designers often in some way or another, but hopefully in this case it was purposeful, intentional, and not just wild, crazy ideas. But one of the challenges that a site like ours has is that we have a mix of what you might call, whether it's multi-channel publishing, but like sort of patterned publishing, like both in our blog, which is like articles of particular types, announcements, and especially like podcast episodes like this podcast, things that are the same, follow consistent patterns, and that to like publish a new one, you just need to fill in the appropriate fields. And from a presentation standpoint, really, even to make a great experience for users, you actually just need that direct consistency. That's what it's all about, to create a great experience, actually. But when we have other things that are like kind of one-off marketing pages, like our site also exists to tell the story of us, like who we are, what our people are like, the way we work, and especially to like to show off the work that we've done. And in those cases, the problem you have, like if you follow just the normal Drupal-y pattern, which is, you know, a wonderful thing, actually, like this idea of flexible modeled content, works great for that sort of patterned publishing thing. But when you get into the thing where it's like, well, we have one page that needs to tell this kind of story, and so it's going to need these kind of elements, and really to tell the story well, we need to help people understand this and then move them into this and support that with some kind of backgrounds, and, you know, sort of like a tailored design of a piece of content. And there's not really going to be another page on the site even exactly like it. Maybe some that are similar, but not exactly like it. That's where Drupal starts to, you know, sometimes make you pull whatever hair you have left out. As a design team, one of the big needs we had in redesigning our site was, historically, we'd just been great at just having a site out there that people can write lots of articles and get podcasts out there and stuff. And that's been the meat of what we do with it. But we've not done a great job of telling the story of the work we've done. And really, that's our bread and butter. You know, that's what we want to be known for. And it's what we do every day. But it also, like, you know, it's not really been that helpful to our prospective clients at times, the way we used to do that, which was like almost like articles about a project, which in the user research that we did leading up to this project, we found that like most of our clients don't really have the time or take the time to read long form text about the work that we've done. They want to see quick examples that are visual, you know, to actually see what it was the site like that they stood up, and see visuals that help them really quickly understand the process that we went through, and especially like, did it work? You know, was the launch successful? Those kinds of things. And so it felt like to do that well, because we do a lot of different kinds of projects, we needed to break ourselves away from designing. So it's like, let's design how the image for this project displays and where it displays on the page, and then how this field displays and where it displays, and get to where we were instead just designing a full piece of content, a full page for each case study. That was a really long answer, I realize, but that gives you much more of a flow of kind of the design challenge that led to then, you know, as a designer, I did never say this needs to be decoupled, or that's not, but I think Sally and Jeff Eaton and others who were kind of looking at where these ideas were headed thought their best recommendation was to decouple, so that we could get to a place where we had a lot of front-end flexibility on some kinds of pages, and then could still at the same time leverage the speed and efficiency of a Drupal editorial interface for all the other kinds of pages.
So it definitely sounds like it gives a huge advantage for the design team in that respect. And it definitely also, you made it clear that it's not the solution for every website, from what I'm gathering from that. It has a huge advantage, but may not be the advantage that some other website out there would need.
Yeah, I think Sally and Chris and Betty may have, and Wes probably have more experience working on other projects where maybe something like this got done, and how great of a fit it is in other situations. I definitely think that we've had clients where they have a similar problem set at a different scale, like where they have a mixture. Often with clients, I found like they'll do things like tentpole events and stuff like that, where it really is like a page of their site about a thing that's custom tailored designed. And those kinds of things often lead to scenarios where if they're a Drupal website, they're like, let's just make it a micro, like it ends up being a totally different site, and they find some way to like trick it into looking like it's part of the site or something like that, where this lets you sort of not have to do that approach, at least. I don't know, Sally, others, do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, like the other way I typically see it done is they'll make like a full page content type in Drupal, and then you go to edit it and this WYSIWYG opens up and you just see this like page of horror unfold before you.
The monster body field.
Chucking things in there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. With full PHP HTML, mode enabled.
No restrictions. Yeah.
That's very scary. Okay, now I kind of want to see, since we saw some of the advantages that this gave, I guess, on the design side, how about the front end side? How did this help or didn't help? I mean, what did it do for you guys when it came to putting the site together? And I'm sure Chris has lots to say.
Well, for me, this was the first larger scale site that wasn't in Drupal that I did.
How did that feel?
It felt really good. Yeah, I mean, with Drupal, you're slotted into, you know, a lot of holes of having to do things a specific way, and the freedom, you know, that we had here was pretty much do it the way you want with a given pattern. So it was a lot more freedom than what I was used to. So that was a major change, but also, you know, as we moved along and learned more about React and writing pure JavaScript as opposed to, you know, jQuery and Drupal, it was great. It allowed us to do pretty much whatever we wanted, easier once we got the hang of it. So, yeah. Wes, do you have anything to add? I know you come on later, so it was...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I would agree that... We just had something come up recently where a hero on one of our case studies didn't look right when it shrunk down the mobile, and I was just able to do something completely different for that one page and recommend that. And it sounds like that was that'll work out. But, you know, usually I'd have to worry about, like, well, what are other pages doing and, like, that kind of thing. And I would say the flip side of the freedom is, like, in Drupal, if I've been doing it for so long that, you know, if I have a certain kind of problem, I'm like, oh, I'll just do this and blah, 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 blah. And this was definitely like a lot of learning, which at first was like, you know, it had some headaches for me. I don't know if I'm just more curmudgeonly than other people, but you know, the freedom is also kind of a hurdle, because it's like, oh, what pattern should I use here? Like, how do I, like, React has these certain kind of structures. How do I interact with these? And, you know, now that I'm starting to figure it all out, this is, like, really, really fun to work on. But there's definitely, like, the first bit of the project where I was just like, okay, what is happening? What is this React thing? Like, there are certain paradigms I had in mind of how a website worked that, like, were becoming an issue. Like, I'm used to, you know, okay, well, you know, Apache does this and Drupal does that and these other things do these kinds of things. And that kind of a lot of that just went out the window. And I had to kind of think differently how I was interacting with the data. But yeah, it's really, really cool once you wrap your head around it.
Was the curmudgeon thing a rhetorical question?
I'd love for somebody to explain, like, this was fascinating to me, at least, that what you were just talking about, Wes, I had this construct in my head of how a web page worked, and especially the idea of, like, what gets things into the DOM and then what the DOM can then manipulate. And that, it feels like that got squirrely to me, because when we were had things that I thought that'll be relatively easy to implement, I didn't think of it as like a back-end front-end functionality or whatever, when in the way it works is like the JavaScript is not going to manipulate the things already in the DOM. The JavaScript is actually producing the things in the DOM at the same time. My head still feels like it wants to explode when I try to figure that part out. Can anybody explain to a designer how that works?
Well, there's actually like one piece of this that we haven't really mentioned yet, which is kind of crucial to this, which is that the app is isomorphic. And what that means is it will generate the markup on the server side as well as on the client side. So the first time you hit the website, generates it all and serves it out to you. And then React takes over from that point once you've downloaded the client side JavaScript. And as you navigate around the site, it'll only change the bits that you want to change. So there was that added complication to think about as well. It's like, okay, we want to generate this markup, but sometimes we've only wanted to generate it on the client for various reasons. Most of the time we want to generate them in both places. And so, for example, we can use jQuery because jQuery doesn't run on the server side. So in cases where we've had to use like a smaller version of that called Cheerio, which does run on Node. So there are a lot of like weird little challenges like that.
Did you say Cheerio?
Yes, Cheerio.
So React.js, CouchDB, Drupal, Cheerio.
Grunt.
So wow. Many words.
There is a lot of yes. Stuff going on. And this is all just to run a website. Holy cow. So when you guys started this project, how did it go? Did the front end, the back end, the designers all start at the same time? Or is there does the flow change because you do a decoupled website?
I don't know if what we did was because of that. I feel like we did what we did trying to do a lot in a short time frame, or at least tell ourselves that maybe we could. And so we did kind of start together-ish, not the entire team, but I don't think that that's necessarily the right way to do it, or a way that you should adopt just because you're working with a decoupled site. Sally might be able to speak to like some of the things that had to happen early on that really didn't matter where the designs went, and that's sort of where she started, I think, sort of creating the architecture for all this and figuring out how all the stuff would get migrated over and Drupal would feed it up.
Yeah, so Jeff Eaton had actually kind of done a lot of the content strategy before the designers came in. So we still had a ton of work to do with migration, as Jared mentioned. And also this was the first time that we decided to go fully decoupled and use React and all the other exciting things. So we still had a bunch of like problems that we knew that we'd have to solve at some point that we could get started on straight away.
Now,
but, you know, next time we build one, there's a little ton of stuff we don't have to do now. So that's great.
Now, does this require a different infrastructure to function? Is this on the same server it was on before, or is there anything different about it in that respect?
Yes. I wish Ben were here, because then he could tell you how much we annoyed him by asking him to set up various things.
Ben is so, our sysadmin, by the way.
Yes. So the editorial side of things sits on, you know, just like standard Drupal infrastructure. There's nothing different about that. On the front end, we're running Node.js to serve stuff out. We also have a couple of other pieces in there as well. We have CouchDB, as I mentioned, which sits in between Drupal and the front end to serve out all our data and create our API. We also have Elasticsearch in the mix for doing searching, obviously. And I think that's it. But everything is like quite spread out, which is a little bit sort of daunting to set up in the first place, but it's really nice because now we can just swap pieces out when we need to. So, you know, if I'm testing the application, I'm like, oh, I want to use the search that's available on production. I could just point to that really easily and start using that on my development environment.
Okay, Betty, you've been quiet, and I want to hear some stuff from Betty to see. Betty, you came on in this in the middle of it?
No, it was near the beginning.
Okay. And what did, tell me some story. What did you get out of decoupling a Drupal website?
Well, I found it really easy to just pick up and work with things in the front end. It has been mentioned before, but one of my favorite things is that you could build reusable front end components. So I found this really easy to just, because on a lot of our pages, wireframes pages, or like page layouts, there are a lot of components that we can just pick up and dump in just to reuse, like the heroes and the promos. So definitely I feel like working with React.js has saved some time. but of course, there are things that are from Drupal that I missed. For example, the RSS feeds. So Drupal, I found, is really good at spitting out RSS feeds, but in this particular project, we had to export all the data into CouchDB and then on the front end actually generate the feed that comes out from it. So it's been a good experience. Different, I would say.
Cool, thank you. Now, here, I'm confused on the fact that if you want to just create a new page that is just completely new content, do you just throw HTML into the site? And does the page even have to talk to the Drupal portion of it? Or how, I'm confused on how all that works. I don't know if that's easy to explain or not.
It is. So our homepage actually doesn't pull anything from any database whatsoever. Everything on that is just within a template. So if we wanted to go and create another crazy page that doesn't relate to anything in Drupal, we can do that by just creating a new, what we call a component file, and that contains all the HTML that generates that page or component, and then any JavaScript that goes around it. The one thing we do have to do in Drupal is we still get our URL structure from there. So every single URL that you hit on the site is mapped to a node in Drupal. So that node might not necessarily have anything in it. So for the case studies, for example, that we talked about on Drupal, they actually, I think, just have a title and a short description that might appear in search results and whatnot. Other than that, nothing else is filled out because we've decided to just put everything in the template file itself. And then if you want to go and fetch data from Drupal, that's pretty easy because we've put it all in into an API. So on the Who We Are page, when you load that, you'll get a big list of everyone who works at Lullabot. So that page doesn't necessarily have any content entered into it on Drupal, but in the template, we were able to go off and fetch all the staff members and pull them in that way.
So I was right earlier in the podcast when I said that this is just running on magic unicorns.
Totally.
Totally unicorn driven. That is awesome. Now, one thing I want to explain that I think is pretty cool with our site now. When someone like me, who has no idea how to use any of this technology, for example, this podcast I'm going to have to publish for tomorrow, and I'm going to have to add this into lullabot.com. So explain how that happens. I mean, obviously, I know how to do it. I'm going to have to do it. But I think it's kind of cool that you guys created just basically a different website that we go to put in the data. what is going on with that? Why? How is that happening?
The different site that you go to enter content. That's the back end Drupal site, which we keep behind a VPN, and it's really just a bunch of content types set up to create articles and other pieces of content, and then that's served out to the front end once it's exported to CouchDB. So really, the Drupal side of things, nothing is really exposed to the world except for to editors. So I found that really neat.
Okay, so before we continue the craziness of learning what is under the hood of the new lullabot.com, let's get out of the way some of the news and events. First of all, in the land of Drupalize Me, we finished up our MailChimp series. I'd like to give a shout out and a thanks to MailChimp. They actually sponsored the series so we could make it actually free to everybody to learn about the MailChimp module when it comes to Drupal. That was very awesome of them. Also, coming soon, we have another series on OOP from our great friends at KNP University. On our blog, Will Hetherington wrote an article on load testing your site with Siege, and AmberMats has a new tutorial up on using mini panels based on a free video in our Building Websites in Drupal 7 with the Panel series. When it comes to events, we've got a few things happening here in the next month or so. Coming up, August 29th through the 30th, we've got Drupal Camp LA. September 3rd to the 5th, we've got Drupal Camp Guadalajara. Ah, man, I could only dream. That just sounds kind of cool. I've never been there, so. And then finally, September 4th, we've got Drupal Camp Cape Town in South Africa. September, DrupalCon in Barcelona, Spain. Woo! Oh, there's so many of them I just want to go to. You won't want to miss this one, though. This con is featuring sessions on coding and development, project management, DevOps, Drupal 8, and so much more. What's even a bigger bonus is our very own, the one, the only, Joe Schindler will be there teaching you all about coding standards in Drupal 8. So, check those things out, and if you can make them, awesome. That's what's happening in the world of Drupal.
One thing that I thought was really cool that maybe one of the developers can actually sort of explain how we pulled this off, but the mix of like the Drupal editorial interface and then the fact that there are other things on our site that are just templates, like literally just little bits of HTML with some sass that's styling that bit of HTML, that these things kind of can interlock because one of our big goals with the new site was to have a much nicer article reading experience. Like a huge percentage of our traffic is on URLs that are articles slash and an article title. And so we wanted to make the experience a lot nicer. And we have things here and there that we want to tell people about. For example, we have Drupalize Me, which this is the Drupalize Me podcast we're talking on. And we have all kinds of great resources for people learning Drupal. And then we have all these articles that also help like share things we're learning about how to do things with Drupal. And when people are on those articles, we want to make sure that if they don't know about Drupalize Me, that they know about Drupalize Me. And in the past, we had, you know, this reading experience that was this little area of text over here on one side and a sidebar on the other side. And we just had to like stick a little promo for Drupalize Me in the sidebar, which most people are just blind to, and you scroll past and it's gone. And this we wanted to make, you know, it feel like it's just a nice, clean, open space. You're just here to read an article. And so if we have something to tell you about, we wanted to be able to do it nicely within the flow of an article where it would make sense or relate, you know. We refer to them as breakers, but like we have a Drupalize Me breaker that we designed that's sort of the little thing to tell people about Drupalize Me. And if an article is talking about Drupal and talking about learning Drupal or teaching you something about Drupal, an author can decide, like, at this point, I want it to pop the Drupalize Me breaker into my article. And that breaker can just be literally a, you know, that template file. It's just pulling some HTML, some styled HTML in and sticking it there in your article. But you can do it all within the editorial interface of Drupal, which I think is pretty neato.
Now I'm trying to sit here and figure out how many breakers you guys have and what you're using them for.
I think we've only completed one or two at this point, but it was more a design idea that was a little longer term. Like over time, we'll have more things that we want to make, but in the short compressed timeline that we did this, I think we maybe made a couple.
I can hazard an explanation and say why I think it's really cool. So I looked at the code a little bit for this, and I think Sally wrote it, but it basically, like, each block of text is kind of put through a process, and it looks for tokens, very similar to how Drupal does tokens. And then that'll relate to some sort of React thing. And then so, you know, if it hits one of those, it'll pull in the right template, the right content, all that kind of stuff. And what I think is particularly cool about this is just how flexible React is. The author just has to know, I want to insert thing. And then it you know, puts in a little token in there. And then on my end, I can say, okay, well, this kind of thing, this kind of image or breaker or whatever it is, needs to have this HTML around it, and then these classes, and I can style everything. And everything, like, I have as much control as I care to have. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of cool stuff that we can do there in the future where it's a very, I would say, it's a very flexible kind of thing. And to be able to do that in a body field is very cool. And I know I've seen, like, Drupal implementations that are like this, but they've, I don't know, this just feels like we could probably do more just because React doesn't necessarily need, React's less opinionated, I think, about what those things are. Like, it can be just like a pure HTML widget. It doesn't need to have some sort of data entity thing driving it. So I don't know if that's a good explanation. Someone can correct me.
No, it's cool. Thank you. So, you guys did an awesome job. I think the site is pretty freaking cool. It's fast. It's mobile friendly. But now that you know what you know, and you went back, is there anything that you might change? Would you say, maybe we wouldn't use React, or we would use Lazy Boy DB? I don't know. Anything?
I might have to go and register that domain right now.
Oh, boy.
I actually can't think of anything.
Good. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think the things that spring to mind for me are more around just things that were challenging about the process and what we were trying to do and the time frame we were trying to do it in. And it's sort of like, yeah, we learned some things. We learned a number of things that have already, you know, made their way into ways that we shape processes on other projects that we're doing both internally and externally. And the other thing I'll say is that we're still changing the site. Not only have we not sort of rolled out everything possible that we've designed in the process yet, but we're also still testing. And, you know, there were some design ideas that we wanted to try that we're sort of like, we're not sure how usable that's going to be, but we won't know until we have people using it and see what people are saying, and that we're already sort of iterating on and stuff. And one of the things that I love about the new site is it feels like, even though there was a lot of cost and effort largely borne by a couple of the people on this team, Sally and Chris especially, I know, not that Betty and Wes haven't done enough. I'm just saying, I know that Sally became like the pivotal person in this project for a long period of time, because she was the one who had learned React, figured out how this was all going to work, architected the entire system, and was able to actually make everything work. But it feels now like, now that we have that architecture in place, iterations to the front end, like exploring, like, what if we treated the navigation this way? It's like, well, yeah, I mean, there's work that goes into it, but we've definitely solved one of the big problems that we've had for years, which is like this small thing that we thought we would change to the way an article is presented, or this little thing about the nav or something is like, I fixed that, but that breaks this feature. I'm speaking of features module, and it's like just this squirrely mess, and it feels like everything, every little change on the front end even is just a big project, or is too snaked deep to make it worthwhile. Let's wait till the next redesign. And I feel like we're now at a place where we have a site we can really truly iterate on much more in smaller ways than the past. Maybe I'm overly hopeful, but it certainly feels that way, and we're already in the process of iterating on some things. So,
minus the fact that there is quite a bit of learning involved in this process, would you say that using these different technologies together is any more difficult to build a site with than just having to deal with Drupal itself and all the things that can anger you about Drupal?
I'd say if you don't know either Drupal or React, I would say React is definitely easier. I can say for sure that any difficulties I had were just because I didn't know anything about React, and I'm very comfortable in Drupal.
So just a follow-up question to that. Does that mean, Wes, that so if I have like a front-end development team in my organization and none of the front-end team really knows a lot of Drupal, they may not know much React either, but they don't know Drupal at all, and we've got a Drupal site, and it would actually be easier to onboard a front-end team that knows neither onto a site like this than it would be to onboard them into just a wholly Drupal site?
Yes.
If we're talking Drupal 7, yes. Drupal 8, which I'm getting up on, might be a different story. I think it is the learning curve got friendlier to front-enders, but time will tell. Yeah, I think they separated out markup in a good way, and it's gotten a lot easier.
Right. Yeah. With the existing site, if you were to hire front-end developers on a project for what we have set up now, and they knew either, definitely it would be easier for them because they would probably never touch the Drupal side of things. It would be working, you know, in straight JavaScript and templates and things like that. So definitely less of a learning curve there for learning both.
Yeah, and actually to add on to that, what's really cool is you don't need to have nearly as much of a local with this. I'm using the prod database essentially when I'm developing locally, and I can switch it to a local one or whatever. But you know, a lot of times in my past life, I've known we've had contractors, and we wanted to give them the ability to make a website that would then live on our environment, but we didn't want to give them the keys to our server, basically. Keys to our car. So this would definitely get around that, where you have live data right there. You just kind of point to the right thing, which would definitely make life a lot easier.
Very cool. Cool. Well, I don't want to keep you guys too long. I think we'll start slowly wrapping this up. I'd like to thank you guys for joining me. And if there's just any other tidbit you guys want to add besides, please go check out lullabot.com. because you can see everything we're talking about. But is there anything you want to add, maybe just if you're thinking of doing this, maybe you want to do this first type thing, or just maybe just, you know, throw out a piece of knowledge out there that might help somebody out if they're headed down this path?
If you're a front-ender and you're interested in working on decoupled projects, it's probably too much to try and figure out how to, you know, get Drupal working the way you want it to and like have it feed a CouchDB or any of that kind of craziness. But, you know, I started a little side project to build like a scoring app built on, it was Angular and, you know, whatever, just kind of IndexedDB junk. And I have to say that really wasn't all that different. I made up my data, right? But, you know, it's not all that different from working on a decoupled site, just doing one of those sites. So if you're a front-ender interested in getting into this, just start a project in one of these kind of React or Angular or whatever kind of framework you want, and that you'll get a pretty good idea what it's like to work with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, concentrate on core skills and not framework-specific ones, too.
Yeah, and I would say from a design standpoint, just because you can design every page completely uniquely does not mean that you should. or that you're even going to want to. But it's funny how just like in very small ways, like subtle differences are like, it's just so freeing to be like, well, no, this case study really needs to have this be the way this works and look like this and have this section that's not there in the other ones. And that's really freeing. But you still end up trying to follow as many patterns in your system as you can, because it saves you time.
Oh, cool. Well, again, I'd like to thank you guys for joining me on the podcast. I'm sure you guys are excited that the new website is up and that it's working. and it's awesome. So thank you for taking a moment out of your guys' busy day to hop on the Drupalize Me podcast. Other than that, I just someone go out there and hurry up and register Lazy Boy DB before Sally does, because I'm pretty sure that's going to become a thing at some point. If you're ever looking to join our podcast, maybe you got a topic you want to talk about, maybe you just want to throw out a great idea for a podcast, please get a hold of us on the social channels. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/DrupalizeMe, Facebook, DrupalizeMe, find us on our contact form. Any of the DrupalizeMe members, we all have Twitter accounts. Just get a hold of us. Just you got some good ideas. We're just looking for stuff to chat about. It's just, we're here. Let's chat. Let us know. Other than that, everybody else, thanks for joining, and keep on Drupaling.